The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, it is the big news for the aviation sector, flying high once more, apparently, because Ryanair has announced today that 100% of their pre-pandemic traffic in Cork is going to be restored for summer 2022 with a 200 million euro investment for the airport. I'm joined by Eddie Wilson, CEO of Ryanair, to discuss the decision and how it will impact on the aviation industry. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
I'm very good. Huge congratulations to the government and to the airport operator for attracting you back.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the airports except Dublin. So Cork, Kerry, Knock, and Shannon are going to be all back to their full 100% pre-pandemic Ryanair traffic from next summer. We hope that we can close the deal with Dublin as well, because in fairness to the DAA, they have a scheme in, but unfortunately the funding from government runs out in June, and as you well know, airlines have to plan their capacity for the full season. So if that was extended from the current end date of June next year to the end of the summer season, which is October bank holiday weekend, then we would make the commitment to restore in full our 100% of our traffic back into Dublin, because Dublin at the moment looks like it could be down by 35% next summer. So wouldn't it be great that, you know, as the largest airline, we'd have everything back to pre-pandemic levels, give people that boost in terms of tourism, that if you've got a tourism industry or you're a hotelier in Dublin, you know, that the Ryanair traffic is coming back and you can plan, you know, get your staff.
It seems slightly surprising, Eddie, given what the group chief executive had been saying over the previous weeks about the relatively negative outlook for tourism and connectivity out of Ireland. Mm. Is it starting to look more rosy than you had expected?
Well, Dublin is obviously the largest airport, and that is still looking potentially next summer at 35% less, unless we can get something completed as we have in Cork. But, you know, they are smaller airports. Like Cork has got two Ryanair aircraft. Shannon's got two. We don't have any based activity in Knock and in Kerry. But, you know, Dublin has up to 30 Ryanair aircraft there. So, you know, we're an island nation. You know, if Eamon Ryan is listening, you know, extend the scheme, give certainty to tourism and business so that we can plan for next summer, restore Dublin in full, just like we have the other four airports. And at least we'll have the capacity in place. And, you know, then it's up to us to drive that through fares and promotion to fill the aircraft.
And on the topic of filling the aircraft, what's your expectation in terms of passenger numbers through Cork once you get back up fully running?
Well, you know, if everything went well and you were back to a sort of a normality, it would be in excess of 1 million passengers here. You know, it could be up to 1.1, 1.2. And in the past, we put a third aircraft into Cork during the summer, you know, but like Cork has, you know, has potential. We've got 240 airports. You know, that's why it's important to be a base, so you can link to those 240 airports in throughout Europe. So there's lots of potential here. So there's potentially, you know, as I say, 1.1, 1.2 million passengers here next year.
Looking at the wider picture across Europe, how is the recovery going and what's your expectation?
Like, we're at about 80% load factor. That's 80% occupancy. In pre-COVID times, we'd run at about 95%. I was on a flight myself to Bristol there the other night, and it was like pre-pandemic, you know, in terms of load factors, like things are largely back to normal. Like, we're back like 100% throughout Europe of what we were pre-pandemic. And what we're trying to do, I mean, we're in a difficult financial situation as well. We lost almost €1 billion this year. So understandably, we're looking for airports that, particularly back in the startup phase, and don't forget, we didn't let any of our people go. People were on less money. We kept our aircraft current so that when things look like they were turning around, that we'd be able to come back. That's what's happening here.
And sorry, Eddie, just to get those numbers right, you have 100% of the aircraft flying that you would have had during the pandemic, and those aircraft are carrying 80% passenger loads rather than 95%.
Pre-pandemic. Yeah, so it's not like last year, you know, they're not funny numbers. It's pre-pandemic. So, you know, you're going into the plan that we have for summer 22 will be 100% fully restored. And for the winter as well, it'll be fully restored.
And does the return of transatlantic make any difference to you? As in, does it drop passengers coming across the Atlantic that then get on Ryanair aircraft?
Yeah, like not so much out of Ireland. But you'd be surprised at the amount of Americans that use Ryanair in particular, because low fares in Europe are substantially lower than what they are in the United States. So the idea for Americans to land in Rome and then be able to fly up to Venice on an internal flight with Ryanair and then go from there to Barcelona, if they plan it well enough in advance, they're flying around for, you know, $20 in their mind. So it's important as well. I mean, like pre-pandemic as well, you have a growing amount of Chinese and Asian tourists that now see using low fares airlines such as Ryanair to you know, they don't just go on the grand tour to France or Italy anymore. They move around.
I remember talking to you previously, and one of the things that you had a concern about was the public health interventions at airports and what would happen in terms of the COVID passports and all of the rest of it and the delays that that might have in processing passengers through the airports. Has that come to fruition, or is it running relatively well from your perspective?
Like, in fairness to the EU Commission, and I mean, you know, I remember I was sort of a lone voice in the wind like 18 months ago talking about, I seem to be the only person who knew about the European Centre of Disease Control, which was also run by the European Commission. But in fairness to the Commission, they did roll out the COVID passport. It's accepted everywhere. You know, you go into a restaurant in Italy now and you show the same one as you show in Temple Bar in Ireland. You know, it works fantastically well, and it is straightforward for people to see. And also, as vaccination levels have gone up, you know, you will find that it's much easier to move through airports. Everybody's got the documentation, and you know, it wasn't going to be it's not the big, we thought initially there was going to be a different visa or a different presentation for every country, but the one size fits all has really facilitated air travel.
And in this relatively positive context, Eddie, where the airports are running relatively simply, you've 100% of the planes in the sky and they're nearly full. Can you explain then why Michael O'Leary has the concern or the expectation that prices are going to go up into 2022?
Because, well, they'll probably go up this Christmas as well. I mean, and that's why you'd encourage people to book early. I mean, it's very simple. There's just less seats in Europe. And that's for a number of reasons. Like, the larger airlines that are depending on state aid have had to cut back, and they've cut back on short haul. You've got airlines like EasyJet that have gone smaller, Norwegian that are a fraction of the size that they were. So the number of seats has gone down. And even I remember my economics class, if there's less of something, the price goes up. You know? And I think hoteliers and that, and the tour operators, have sort of held out as well on pricing in the anticipation that there's going to be pent-up demand. But there's going to be less seats available. People are not going to be holidaying in Southeast Asia or Vietnam or Thailand. Those countries are not open. Even in the United States, if you want to plan, you know, a trip to Florida, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty on how that would work out for a family. But I think people are sticking to Europe for the foreseeable future. And that's going to be good news for us. And
what about the consolidation in the industry? Because there were a lot of analysts who said what we are going to see is cash-rich airlines picking up the ones that are finally shown to be swimming nude when the tide has gone out through COVID. Obviously, Ryanair being very cash-rich was expected to be one of those doing the picking up. That hasn't happened as much as might have been expected.
Yeah, I mean, what has disrupted that has been the state aid. So airlines that should have exited and gone. I mean, you've got Portugal, like, that's got a population of about 11 million people, forking out $3.5 billion for a smaller airline. Italy, again, has recapitalized Alitalia, you know, again, with another $3 billion, and that'll be gone in another 3 years. So that has disrupted what would have naturally happened. Lufthansa, Air France, KLM. So, but you saw last week with the sort of positioning there with Wizz and EasyJet, and inevitably consolidation is going to come. It's going to go the same way as the United States, two or three large airline groups. But there, you're quite right, there is a disruption, but it's largely driven by government bailouts that hasn't made the market efficient for mergers.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was a bit of brinksmanship in the negotiations between yourself and Boeing, because there was a tentative or an early stage order from Ryanair for a number of 737 MAX 10s, I think it was, out of Boeing, and you have withdrawn from the possibility of closing that deal. A, how many aircraft, how much money, and why have you stepped away from the table?
We look at it very simply. What is the perceived cost on those aircraft over the next 20 years or the useful life of an aircraft? And that's the sum. And if the sum is larger than what we've paid previously, then we're not going to do it. Because people, you know, over that period of time, your passengers are not going to pay you anymore. Invariably, you've got to be in charge of your costs.
And how many planes was it, Eddie?
Well, we were not. I'm not going to tell you what the number of aircraft was, but we have an order for 210 of the MAX 8200s. These were discussions on MAX 10, which are, you know, a larger aircraft, and we would have been a substantial customer for those, because airlines, you know, if they're going to continue to grow, have to replace their fleet. We've got the youngest fleet in Europe, and we would be looking at that because it's a larger aircraft, more efficient. But it's not more efficient if it's at the wrong price.
Presumably Boeing looks at you and knows that, so far at least in Ryanair's world, they are the only game in town, so you will be coming back.
It's not always that simple, because, you know, it's not always that simple. If you recall, there were two orders as well for where the same arguments were made. We believe that they're wrong. You know, you're tripping over Boeing's in Seattle. You know, you should look at the sort of photographs over there. They've got a large amount of aircraft sitting around with cancelled orders. And we believe that it will come our way eventually. We're the largest customer in Europe, and we don't need them at the moment, and we will just concentrate on doing our business. But we're not in any hurry to do something. If we were able to lock that away, we would have, but the price is not right, so we're not going to proceed with it at the moment.
Yeah, and I saw a quote from the group CEO saying that it isn't long in aviation before a crisis comes around and these things get cheap. Before I let you go, Eddie, a couple of quick questions from listeners. I'm taking a Ryanair to flight to Spain in a couple of weeks. Are there still tests and restrictions in place?
And tests and restrictions on, in terms of, if you go to Spain, you just need to bring your COVID passport, EU one, and that's all you need.
Another
you
one know, is the La Palma.
What I would say is that there's a link on our website to all the government sites, because some of these things change in terms of registering. For example, if you go to Greece, you've got to have a QR code. So I'd ask the person just to look at the link on our website, because it does change regularly. But
Is the La Palma volcano still causing issues for Ryanair?
Would you believe it? We have announced La Palma as a destination not more than 4 weeks ago from Madrid and Barcelona as an internal flight. I was looking forward to going there myself. It's the most westerly of, you know, westerly of those islands, and like, people are going through a horrendous time down there at the moment. And, you know, we will be back on that route, I think, you know, probably in the early new year. But it hasn't blown for 50 years, and then we announce it, and it's blown. So I hope everyone's safe down there, but we'll do our best to get back there. But there's no effect on the other Canary Islands.
Two other quick ones. Are Ryanair opening Dublin-Stuttgart again?
Stuttgart's too expensive. Way too expensive.
And finally, can you ask Eddie why they can't have a route to Rome all year long from Cork?
Okay, we'll look at that. We'll talk. Well, I'll talk to Neil here from Cork on my way. Neil McCarty, the managing director, and see if he has any more incentives to do that for the full year.
It is good to know that we have such influence over Ryanair's strategy. Eddie, thank you very much. That is Eddie Wilson, Chief Executive of Ryanair. Now it is.